This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming, to movies, TV shows and pop culture, to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you from Chicago, USA, with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
This is Mason Vera Payne here live from the MVP Studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. Are you familiar with the term ghosting? Ghosting was a term that was originally associated with dating. The action of ghosting was when someone you went out on a date with never returned any sort of communication with you afterwards, whether it's an email, phone call, or even a text. They just disappeared like a ghost. This term and behavior has now transcended into friendships, family, and even the workplace. To explain why ghosting has become the norm is licensed professional counselor and executive coach Bruce Cameron. Thanks for coming on, Bruce.
Well, thanks for having me.
You know, we already know what ghosting is because it's part of like dating relationships, but where did it get its title from? How did it start?
Well, I think it did come from dating and relationships where people would just vanish and disappear. And, you know, this is something that is now, you know, kind of with social media and other platforms where there's so many people and we have so much access to people, it just makes it easier for people to vanish from their relationships or commitments.
Do you think anybody could ever recover from being ghosted?
I think they could if they were ghosted early in the process. You know, some cases that I've worked with where the person was fairly committed and was the ghostee, that really hurt. But I think if it's in the beginning of the process, I think the healing takes place a lot easier.
So, like, is there, like, degrees to it? So, like you said, you can recover from it, but what happens if it's, like, really bad or it's all the same?
Oh, no, I mean, you could have something that's really, really bad, and it could be very difficult. I mean, sometimes people that have obsessive compulsive disorder, and they're worried about the ghoster. Is the person in the hospital? Is the person sick? And that type of thing, and so it really, you know, depending on the person, even if the ghosting occurred early in the relationship, depending on the other person, it could actually be pretty bad. So it is kind of case by case.
Now, I've never been ghosted in, like, relationships dating-wise, but I have been ghosted by, like, family, friends, and even in business. Why do you think it transcended?
I think whatever, you know, we tolerate at first, we'll accept. And I think also you have this kind of new social norm that starts with in heightened presence on social media, you know, sites like Tinder, for instance. You know, somebody gets on there and they may match, but then the person might just disappear, or they may text a little bit inside the platform and then they just disappear. So I think we've become systematically desensitized to, well, that's just a way, kind of a new way of interacting with people. And it really isn't a good way at all, because at the end of the day, we're all people, and we do want that golden rule. You know, we want to be treated like we would treat somebody else, and this is that violates, you know, ghosting violates that tenet in that, well, I'm just going to go, and it's just easier for me to ghost than to deal with it. So it's an interesting social phenomenon that, you know, between that and the stealthing and all these other new social phenomenons, you know, kind of catching on in interpersonal relationships.
Yeah, you know, when it comes to ghosting in business, at least for me, it's so weird because I know I'm going to have to work with these people again at some point. But then the part of me is like, I can't let it go that they kind of left me hanging. How do you get over that? Like, how can you reconnect without there being like a bitterness to it?
You know, that's an interesting question. I mean, because at some point, you're just going to have to tell yourself that, you know, it's their behavior, right? It's not your behavior, or it's not a reflection on you. It's their choice. And so I think it, you know, there has to be some sort of cognitive mechanism that, you know, that you have to understand that person, for whatever reason, you know, didn't have the courage to deal with the discomfort of their emotions, and or maybe they didn't understand the impact of their behavior. But sometimes these people just don't care. But in any event, it's just really, you know, talking to other people. Maybe you can talk to some other people about it, and because, you know, when something like this happens, that mirror gets in front of you, and you start to evaluate yourself. And that's not really a fair yardstick to do it, you know. I mean, this person decided to ghost, and And it's unfortunate, but, you know, each person does have to deal with it in their own way.
You're absolutely right. You do start reevaluating yourself. You think to yourself, like, oh, man, did I insult them? You know, did I do something unprofessional? You know, should I say I'm sorry? Like, find a way to say I'm sorry. Like, you go through all your emails and all the ways, like, the forms of communications you had with this person. And it's like, you know, I think that's really unfair.
Oh, yeah. It is unfair. And sadly, one of the best solutions to this is, if you're the victim or the ghostee, is just, you know, retain your dignity and let this person go peacefully, you know, and just rise up and be the better person. Easier said than done.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's a lot easier said than done. Because then I think you go through the stage of, like, of what is those, the five stages of grief or something?
Where, right, yeah, 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 that, yeah, the Kubler-Ross, you
yes.
know, you have, you know, denial, then you have depression, you might have anger, you might have bargaining, and then finally you have acceptance. So
yes.
You're right, it is. And depending on how involved you were with this other person that ghosted you, that's going to be that process right there that I just spoke of. You know, how long are you going to be involved in that process? And so, you know, there's a lot of moving parts in that model there, except for at the end, acceptance. I mean, that's kind of the finish line. But you're absolutely right. It's something that you're inflicting. You know, you're inflicting pain on the other person by ghosting.
You know, but we call it ghosting, but is it really ghosting, especially when it comes to family or friends or, you know, business? I mean, why did we start calling it ghosting? Was it called something else before?
Yeah, it was called setting firm limits and boundaries. to the point of disappearance. There's some 80s therapist out there that's like, oh, I started it. I wrote a book on this in my codependency years. Anyway, So particularly some of the Chicago therapists, you know, so had to have a shout out, right? WGN, but a lot of Marshall Linehan and all those great dialectical behavior therapists out there in Chicagoland. But anyway, so yeah, certainly I think it is. You know, I mean, look at how we kind of change things, like the alt-right, the Rust Belt voter, the white nationalist. I mean, all of a sudden, you know, overnight with an election, there's all these new people groups. And
yeah.
So I think what's happened here is the same thing. But is suicide, is there an element of ghosting in a suicide? Probably. Is there, you know, what about the guy who leaves his wife and goes to Mexico? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just unannounced, right? I mean, that's kind of like a profound ghosting thing. So I think the moving part here is how sociopathic or psychopathic the person is that's doing the, you know, how callously narcissistic is this person. So anyway, but then, you know, if you read Psychology Today and some of the other articles, they'll say, oh, well, you know what, this is not a gender-based thing. 50, you know, it's men and women both do this, and it's just kind of a casual way of, if you will, not communicating. So, you know, we'll just see where this lands, or, you know, or will we call it something else 6 months from now?
That's so true. You know, I like that you said narcissistic, and I don't know if I could place this in there, but my cousin, we used to speak, like, constantly back and forth, texting, phone calls, and then all of a sudden it just stopped. Like, I would text her, and I knew she had the phone on her. Anyways, she stopped texting me and stopped returning calls and everything. And I started going through, like, oh, man, did I insult her? I don't know what I did. And I felt, like, horrible for a long time because I love my cousin. Anyways, about a year later, I get an invitation in the mail that she's having a wedding. And, you know, I didn't know really what to do because I was like, are we beefing? Are we not? And I declined to go because it was out of the way anyways. And I'm like, well, we're not talking. I don't think we are. Do you think that was appropriate on my part, or, you know, should I have just let it go?
You know, it depends on what you're willing to tolerate, right? I mean, it's how you want to identify with it. Hey, if you wanted to get some free food and dance with some people, man, knock yourself out, go to the wedding, you know what I mean? But if you're still lingering, right? You're still lingering or harboring some, I don't want to say ill will, but you know what I mean? Some kind of negativity
weird.
In there, you know? How could this chick drop me, man? We're primas, man. We're cousins, man.
Well, yeah. No, well, and she also wanted, along with the invitation, was where she the gift registry was at. Yeah, right.
Oh,
so,
well,
yeah, it was kind of like,
yeah,
you want me to get you a gift, and I'm supposed to give because my parents were like, oh, you should give her like $100 for your plate. So I'm like, wait, so I have to pay for my own food,
right?
Get her a gift, and we're not chilling like that. I just, but in that situation, I think a lot of people are in those kind of like teeter totty situations where it's not that there was any ill will, but that there's a lot of just silence. And what can you do? Like, of course, this was like a wedding, so I it's kind of weird. But let's say it wasn't a wedding. Let's just say it was, I want to reconnect. How would you do that?
Well, I mean, I would sit there and I wouldn't sit there, but I would text her. I'd say, hey, I got your, I'd acknowledge the behavior. Hey, I got your kind letter or whatever. I got this. What's going on? I'd like to talk to you about it. And what you want to do is you want to have some sort of clarification, what I call like a clarification session, right? Hey, hadn't heard from you. You ping back. Basically you're asking, what's up? What are your intentions, right? Because you don't want to get jammed up again and dropped like a hot potato again. what we call that in treatment is the clarification session, what are your intentions? So I know that sounds all old school and everything, but hey, you know what I mean? That's what I would do, right, if all of a sudden somebody comes back. I have this image of like somebody's mother-in-law just fiending for more gifts and cash. So you get the, that's why you got the invitation. Or she had a personal assistant that just got a spreadsheet and you happened to be on there.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we didn't factor in she was ghosting you. Oh, you're the one. You're the one she was ghosting. Oh, shit. Hey, we got to better take her name off the list. That's the ghost. Anyway, I always think behind that. Like, it's probably somebody's mother-in-law got a spreadsheet and I'm just, getting some junk mail.
No, because everybody was invited and
right.
That's where I was like, okay, she's inviting people that, like second and third and fifth cousins that we don't remember.
Right, the eyelash threader, the eyelash threader, the dog walker.
Yeah.
All the, right.
But it was weird, but it did get me started to think, like, how do you reconnect with people? And I know I've ghosted people too, but it was more around business because it was like, this guy's totally unprofessional. He keeps calling me. I'm not going to pick up. But I do know later on, I feel kind of bad about it. How do I, should I come up with a lie to say like, oh, somebody was sick. Hey, what's up?
No, I wouldn't do that. But I think there's always a creative way to talk about how you really feel. You know what I mean? Like, hey, I'm in a situation where this isn't going to work right now. Or, hey, I've got a lot on my plate right now and I really can't deal with this. So again, there's a lot of ways I think that you can phrase your internal process, that the other person won't get horribly offended. And look, let's face it, you're giving that other person closure that they need, right? Closure can be good, neutral, or bad, but at least you're giving it to them and you're the better person. You know what I mean? So it's, with this type of phenomenon, is like, A, people don't want to deal with taking responsibility for the actions, or B, they just don't want to deal with, whatever conflict. But again, I think it shows that you're the better person when you can at least, say something that talks about where your head is at or your heart is at on this issue, and then just let them go with that information.
You're right about that. It's definitely the conflict portion, and I think it's also the I don't want to know. Because, like in the case with my cousin, maybe I did offend her. Maybe there was something I did say, and I don't want to hear it.
Right. The front end of this is like, well, maybe they'll just get the hint. If I'm not contacting them, like they'll just get the hint, and they won't contact me, and then this whole thing magically goes away. So there is this kind of thinking error, I think, for many people. The person didn't contact me back, so therefore, they must not like me either, right? So therefore, I'm cool. Well, no, you see how that thinking error kind of can perpetuate with the ghoster, so pretty interesting.
Well, Bruce, I really appreciate you coming on and talking about ghosting.
Thanks for having me.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Head to WGNradio.com for exclusive content by Mason. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne, that's all one word, and don't forget to share the show with your friends.